Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be following the refurbishing of the temple as we pick up today's lesson in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's message.
Josiah was just 8 years old when he began to reign. His grandfather, Manasseh, was the most wicked king that Judah had. However, as wicked as Manasseh was, there seemed to be some sort of repentance in his later years, and God forgave him. Now, if you're wondering about yourself and if God will forgive you, read about Manasseh. I mean, this guy was totally bad, totally evil, and yet God forgave him. Let me tell you something. If I were God, I wouldn't have forgiven him. But God is so gracious. And I think God forgave him just to show people that if he would forgive Manasseh, he would forgive anybody. And it'll give you hope if you're wondering whether or not you've gone too far. Just read about this fellow Manasseh, and God forgave him when he repented. However, Manasseh's son Amon, who reigned in his stead, was just as evil as his father. However, he was cut short. He was assassinated after 2 years of reign. So now Josiah began to reign. He was only 8 years old, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidah, and she was the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. Now, Boscath was near Ekron, if that'll help you any. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, here he is only 8 years old, but yet evidently under the influence again of good men. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all of the way of David his father, and he turned not aside to the right or to the left. That is, he didn't deviate from the straight path. Great testimony of a man. He walked a straight path. He didn't waver in the path, but he walked a straight path. And so it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan. Now, of course, in his 18th year, he would have been now 26 years old. And he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, to the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may total the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it to the hands of the doers of the work, that they might have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. Give it to the carpenters, the builders, the masons, that they might buy timber and hewn stone and repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning with them for the money that was delivered into their hand, because they were faithful men." During the reign of Manasseh, the temple was not only in a state of disrepair, but under the reign of Manasseh, the temple had been desecrated. They built altars for Baal right in the temple. They set up images of Asherim right within the temple. And it had been horribly desecrated and just allowed to lapse into a state of disrepair. And so the purpose of Josiah was to repair again the house of the Lord, to replaster and to just refurbish the thing, it having been allowed to fall in such a state of disrepair. And so Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Sort of an interesting thing that under the long reign of Manasseh, you remember he reigned for 50 some years. Evil, wicked king. During that period of 50 some years, of over a generation past, and they actually had lost track of the law. And thus, as they were going through the rubble there in the temple, they found a copy of the law of the Lord. So Hilkiah announced to Shaphan this glorious discovery. As they were repairing the temple, cleaning up the rubble, they had come across a copy of the law of Moses. And so he gave the book to Shaphan, who read it. And Shaphan, the scribe, came to the king, and he brought the king word again and said, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house. They've delivered it to the hand of those that do the work and those that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." And Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given to me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Achbor, the son of Micaiah, and I hate these names, and Shaphan the scribe, and why can't they just call him Joe and Jim? And he said, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all of Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." Now, in the book of the law of the Lord, Deuteronomy, God declared all of the things that he would do to them if they forsook him. If you begin to worship these other gods, if you turn your back on me and so forth, God pronounced in Deuteronomy the horrible judgments. "I will drive you out of the land that I have given to thee. And you will be driven throughout the world. You become a curse and a byword." And God told of all of the judgments that were going to come upon them. And Josiah, recognizing the justice of God, realized that they had done those things that God had forbidden, and that they were thus ripe for the judgment of God. And it shook him when he heard the law of God, and he realized how the law was almost a prophecy, because those very things that the law had forbidden were the very things that had been done. And thus God had pronounced what would happen to them for doing these things, and Josiah knew they were guilty and knew that they were ripe for the judgment of God. And so he asked them to go and inquire of the prophets. Now, up until the time of David, they inquired of the Lord from the high priest with the Urim and the Thummim. After David, there came the period of the prophets, and they would go to the prophet. And there were two prophets who prophesied during the time of Josiah's reign. One was Zephaniah, but he prophesied in the early years of Josiah's reign. And Jeremiah began his prophecies in about the 12th year of the reign of Josiah. So you're going to have to sort of in your minds tie in now Jeremiah and the first part of Jeremiah with this particular portion of history when Josiah was king. Now, we're going to read of the reformations by Josiah. They were pretty thorough. And during his reign, there was a return of the people to the worship of Jehovah. He was quite thorough in getting rid of the false places of worship, the pagan altars, the images of Baal and Asherim and all. He was faithful in getting rid of that, and the people returned to the temple to worship God. But as there was this sort of a spiritual renewal, in as much as the people, you might say, were going back to church again, it was only a surface renewal. It wasn't a deep repentance and a turning to God with all of their hearts. It was because the king, a popular king, was requiring it, and so it was the political thing to do. And thus, the Lord told Jeremiah, go down to the house of the Lord, and as the people are going in, cry aloud to them, saying, trust not in lying vanity, saying, the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord, the house of the Lord are these. So Jeremiah was to go down and to rebuke them for the shallowness of their return to God. It wasn't a deep spiritual conviction, but just it became, you know, the in thing to do. And so he cried out, Jeremiah cried out against this. But you have to put this period of history with Jeremiah the prophet, and Jeremiah is going to carry us through. He'll be prophesying during the rest of the book of 2 Kings. From Josiah onward, Jeremiah was prophesying as he watched the death of the nation of Israel. So there is this surface movement towards God under the reign of Josiah. Now, Jeremiah came from Anathoth, and it could be that at this point he was still in Anathoth, and thus they did not inquire of Jeremiah. Zephaniah could at this point already be dead. And so they inquired of the prophets concerning what God had said in his law and concerning their guilt. God, what will you do and what are you going to do? So Hilkiah the priest and Jehoiakim and Achbar and Shaphan and Azariah went unto Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, and the son of Harhas. And she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, that is, in the school of the prophets. Now, interestingly enough, Huldah was the prophetess at that time that, walking with the Lord, had the mind of the Lord. Now, Miriam was a leader of the women in their worship of God during the time of Moses. She took an active role of leadership. Of course, later, Deborah became one of the prominent women of Israel, judging Israel. And now Huldah, the prophetess. And when we go to the New Testament, we find Anna, the prophetess, who was there in the temple at the time that Jesus was brought for his dedication. And the Lord had spoken to her concerning the Messiah. So women of prominence in the Bible who exercised ministries such as prophetesses, and as with Miriam, a prophetess, or leading also the people in worship. I say that because there are those that would forbid women any kind of role or office within the church. Surely the Bible doesn't, and we shouldn't. So they went to Huldah, the prophetess, they communed with her, And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken, and God's going to bring evil, this is the reason, because they have forsaken me. Now, this was basically one of the first messages that Jeremiah gave. God said through Jeremiah, Israel hath committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns, empty cisterns that can hold no water. Jerusalem gets probably 12 to 14 inches of rain a year. Because of the lack of rain and the long summer months without rain, you'll find all over the land these huge cisterns. What they are caves that are carved by hand out of solid rock. And they direct the flow of the rain on into these cisterns. And then in the summertime, the cisterns would serve as wells. And thus, there are many areas, especially around the city of Jerusalem, where there are cisterns. Under the Sister of Mary's convent there, there's huge cisterns underneath. Over in the Mount of Olives, you'll find cisterns. They were reservoirs where the rainwater would be collected to be used during the summer. Cisterns, at best, held water that over a period of time became stale. Now, there would be occasions where they would dig out or hew out these cisterns out of the rock, build all their little dams and sluices and to bring the water in, but there would be a fracture in the rock so that these cisterns wouldn't hold the water. Broken cisterns. They represented years of labor because they had to do it with hammer and chisel. And I mean, some of the cisterns, I've seen cisterns as large as the interior of the sanctuary here. And imagine that with a hammer and a chisel in solid rock. Take you a while. And sometimes after all of this expended labor, they'd discover that there was a fracture, a fissure in the rock, and it wouldn't hold the water. Now, there is also there in Jerusalem springs of water. The Gihon spring, where the water is constantly just gushing out. That's called living water. Whenever you have running water in a stream or from a spring, the water that is running, artesian well, that's called living water. Now, through Jeremiah, God said they've done two evils. Number one, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living water or running water. And they have cut out for themselves cisterns, but their cisterns can't hold water. They're broken cisterns. They can't hold water. What God is saying is that in following me and in worshiping me, there's life. It's like living water. Man has to worship something. That's just a part of our very makeup. And when men do not worship the true and the living God, then they'll develop a philosophy, an ideal, whatever, and they'll begin to worship that. Broken cisterns. Religions. And look at all of the religions today. People are basically religious. But what can you say about the religions? They can't hold water. They can't satisfy your thirst. And when you are really in need and you go to find help, it'll be dry. And so God's complaint against Israel. And so here Huldah, the prophetess, repeats it. God said the first thing, they have forsaken me. And in their broken cisterns, they have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all of the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. In other words, they've gone too far. I think there comes a point of no return. When they've gone too far, God said, my wrath is kindled and will not be quenched.
We'll return with more of our study of 2 Kings in our next lesson, as we follow the prophecy of blessing. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD, and phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online, anytime, when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of 2 Kings. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
May the Lord be with you and strengthen you and bless you and keep you in all your ways as you walk in fellowship with Him. May your life be enriched in the fullness of that mercy and grace that He has extended towards us through Jesus our Lord. God bless you and give you a beautiful week. Strengthened by the Lord, may you abound in all things in Christ. The glory and the praise and the honor of our God, our Savior and our Lord. In Jesus' name.
Years ago, I was convicted for drug possession. I was looking at a year in prison. But reflecting back, that was the best time of my life, because it was there that I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I shared this with my mom and she mailed me a Bible, which is great, but I had a hard time understanding it. Thankfully, my mom also sent me copies of Pastor Chuck's commentaries and he became my pastor in prison. Today, I'm blessed to be working at The Word for Today, and it's with great honor to introduce The Word for Today Bible in a paperback, complete with Pastor Chuck's commentaries. So anyone who's incarcerated or in a difficult place can learn and study God's Word wherever they are.
For more information on a paperback version of the Word for Today Bible for yourself or to give to a loved one, please call the Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. You can read a sneak preview of the Word for Today Bible by visiting thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.